Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Scott Kleinberg and all those conversations, Scott, we've had about the spread of social media misinformation, I guess come back to a single source. You've got some information about the winner of a dubious honor, don't you?
Yep, for sure. So there's this new study from Cornell University, and it found that Donald Trump, the president of the United States, is the single largest driver of coronavirus misinformation. And I tell you what, I've been, you know, saying this and looking at this ever since this study came out a few days ago, and it's almost impossible to believe that I said it, but it's true.
And tell us more about the study. In your opinion, was it fair? Did they go into this with some kind of bias?
Well, first, the study is a big one. They researched 38 million English language articles about the pandemic, and they found that Trump was the largest driver of what they're calling the infodemic. And the study itself, I think it's pretty fair, was the first comprehensive examination of coronavirus misinformation in both traditional and online media.
So how did the researchers decide that it was Donald Trump the biggest offender?
Well, that's a really interesting thing how they do this. They identified 11 topics of misinformation. So they took things like various conspiracy theories, things like the things that emerged in January that said that the pandemic was manufactured by Democrats to coincide with Trump's impeachment trial. And then the other one that said that the initial outbreak went back to China and people who ate bat soup. But it's the topic that comes up over and over again about these miracle cures, where Trump's promotion of anti-malarial drugs and disinfectants and potential treatments. And some people were saying that the disinfectant things were said in jest, but it doesn't necessarily matter because all of those things were spread, you know, like rapid fire. And that accounted for more misinformation. That whole miracle cure thing accounted for more misinformation than the other 10 topics combined. So here's a great example. There were 11,000 misinformation articles that mentioned Dr. Fauci, but there were 295,000 that involved those miracle cures. So the numbers aren't even close.
But for people who follow social media, this couldn't have come as that big of a shock, could it?
No, you might not think so, but it was a different story for researchers because they said that they hoped to find more, or they thought they would find more mentions on conspiracy theories and things like that, and not so many articles that actually involved Trump directly.
Any response yet from the White House or a presidential tweet?
No, nothing about that. I didn't see anything on that, but it brings up a really good point, Bob. And, you know, I noticed that as this story has evolved, many of the comments online are things like, no surprise here, and tell me something I didn't already know. And the problem with that is the level of complacency. It just shows how used to these messages we are and how disinterested in all this we become. And meanwhile, he's spreading this misinformation that has serious real-world consequences, and the social media companies are saying they're working hard to remove this content. And I wanted to bring this up because this happened, you know, as of this morning. These things that are out there that he tweeted yesterday about how, you know, don't worry about COVID, don't let it dominate your life. He posted a video that claims that vaccines are coming momentarily. Those posts, they are still up on Facebook and Twitter as of right now. They remain up. They're not labeled. The Facebook post has been liked by more than 1 million people. The tweet has been retweeted by hundreds of thousands of people, and there's absolutely nothing. And Twitter says that these tweets, they didn't violate any rules because there's no clear call to action that would cause real-world harm. Yet all of these people who are talking this morning are saying just how harmful the tweets are. So it's amazing because I guess at the end of the day, I'm disappointed there isn't more outrage, but there's outrage among some people and not outrage among the people that can actually make a difference.
We're talking with social media strategist Scott Kleinberg. Scott, before we talk about Twitter and their problems and what they're doing about it, one more note about that study. Rather than blame the president for all of the posts and all of the rampant misinformation, isn't it true, though, that you're going to go viral with anything that is conspiratorial in nature, no matter who it's from? In other words, if you post something that says wear a mask, that's not going to go viral and get 80 billion hits. But if you post something a little more controversial, that is going to get more popular. Isn't that the way it works from anybody?
That is absolutely the way it works from anybody. However, certain people have much more influence on the algorithm than other people do. So Trump's tweets or prominent tweets are always going to have a chance at going viral before anybody else's. And that's where it's really up to the social media companies to be able to stop these posts before they actually do. But you're absolutely right. It's going to be what the actual topic is, but it's also a matter of who that has a large say in that.
What's Twitter doing about the problem with pictures in tweets?
Well, it announced that it is changing how photos are going to be cropped because there were concerns raised that this machine learning algorithm that they have was actually racially biased in how it cropped images. In particular, it was favoring white faces over black ones. And it's really interesting because Twitter did testing 2 years ago before this system was implemented. But there wasn't any real external analysis on it. And now they're saying that was an oversight because it's possible that this analysis could have caught the problem back then.
So what are they doing about it?
Well, they're going to allow for that analysis that they talked about before, which will certainly help. And now they're working on tools to show users how their photos will look as they're composing tweets, which is something that we haven't had before. So I don't think you'll see this for a while. But when it's actually implemented, it'll actually do double duty by helping to eliminate those other awkward photo issues. You know, like when you have a head that gets chopped off, right. Now you'll be able to see exactly what you're going to get before post.
Is this a relatively new issue? Has this been going on for a while?
Well, it's relatively new. They switched to the current cropping system back in 2018. The previous system before that was built to focus on faces. This current model is designed to focus on what their algorithm determines to be what they call the most interesting part of the image. So it predicts where an average person would first look. But what Twitter found out from all of this, I think, is very valuable. And that's as smart as machines are, there's still no substitute for humans. So now humans are going to step in and teach the machines a thing or two.
There are some new insights related to COVID-19 on Twitter. Tell us about that.
Yep. They're sharing key topics of focus among Twitter users and where people are paying more attention as a result of the pandemic.
And I know you have some good examples for us.
Yeah. Thanks. So, 42% of tweets related to parenting, 42% increase in tweets related to parenting as things have changed with stay at home and education, 24% increase in tweets about trying new things, a nod to what's happened to people's lives and how it's changed drastically, 54% increase in tweets related to mental health, and of course the big one, conversations about working from home up 375%.
Well, it's really interesting how the pandemic has affected us, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I mean, tweets about everything from donations to it's just amazing. You know, we're more in tune to what brands are supporting. We're more in tune to our health. Every single thing that we never thought of that we would be really looking at, I think, in the beginning of 2020, we really are now.
Tweets about donating are up, and I guess all of this does make sense. I mean, companies are getting noticed much more than ever before, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where we're taking a personal interest in these things that brands are doing that we wouldn't necessarily have had a real interest in before. 69% year over year tweets about donating. 72% of those on Twitter said they felt like they were making a difference when they take part in noticing what a brand is supporting. So it's true. That overall message is just unbelievable.
Scott Kleinberg, always fascinating stuff. Appreciate it, Scott. You have a good day, and we'll talk to you next week.
You too, Bob. You take care.